This episode is really for the lovers, the romanticizers, clearing the space for softness, creating space for softness, creating space to lead with love and let life be sacred is all about slowing down. Existence does not care if you're serious, does not want you to be serious. You get to lead with love if you choose to love. That is a powerful portal into who you truly are.
But you're awakening already, right? It's already happening. That's why you're here and why you're listening.
Nothing is broken in your world. Nothing needs to be changed. Nothing needs to be different. And yet everything is constantly changing because it is the inevitable nature of that which is eternal.
What I've come to realize in this endless searching for answers is that there really are none.
If you spend your whole life trying to get your act together, then what do you have? You have an act. Right? Instead of a life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Figuring Shit Out. I am Vanessa Fontana. I'm your host, and if you're new here, Figuring Shit Out is a collective undertaking on navigating confusion, coming of age, and a guide for those on their path of self-discovery and inner awakening. It is meant to help you embrace uncertainty as you figure shit out without the pressure for perfection and show up as fully, honestly, and unapologetically in your life while getting to know and love who you really are. It is the last episode of the year, and if you have been following me on my journey of the road less traveled after quitting my full-time job in tech to pursue a more creative and aligned life, figuring shit out literally full-time, you know that it's been quite a wild ride, that this journey of figuring shit out has taken on a whole new meaning in my life and therefore in reflection of the podcast. And the most recent episodes in the last couple of months have been about this road less traveled. It's been about choosing a path that feels connected to who we are, who we want to be, that feels right, how to listen to our intuition and embrace something new, how to heal so that we can listen to our intuition, and what patterns are repeating in our lives and what are patterns that we want to change. And today I wanted to create space for softness because the end of the year and the beginning of the year can often serve as marking points for where we think we should be. And I don't think January is necessarily the time that anyone feels encouraged to change. I think that we're all still wrapped up in our winter woes. We are still dealing with daylight savings. We're still dealing with the sun going down and the trees being barren and the inner winter of our bodies as our bodies naturally merge with the winter that's outside of us. And around us, we hear the stories of what everyone else wants to change, what everyone else's resolutions are. We are bombarded with the newness of a new calendar year, 2025, and how to get your shit together so that you can be this version of you who you want to be. And look, I get it. I am not innocent by any means of encouraging people to become who they want to be. But what I'm saying is that the overarching impulse of 2025, the overarching impulse of a new year, to be the motivating factor of change is one that's an uninspired and old idea that I don't think any of us need to embrace unless we really feel called to embrace it. So in this episode, the last episode of the year, which you might be listening to in 2024 or 2025 or somewhere in the timeline of the world, I want to create space for softness and talk about building a dialogue with life that feels light and free and connected to who we are and where we are in the moments that we find ourselves. January can feel like a time of newness and beginnings, but really we look around us and nothing's really changed. The calendar year is different and we find ourselves writing 2025 instead of 2024 and making some time to correct our mistakes. And creating softness around the idea of change is something that is important for us to do if we want to change gracefully. Life is always changing all the time, all around us. It seems like we don't notice that winter is upon us until the snow's on the ground, or it's so cold that we don't even want to go outside. But we fail to see that winter changes in every moment as fall becomes winter and as winter becomes spring. And as the world around us shifts, we do too. And the world around us shifts in sometimes a predictable way and sometimes in an unpredictable way. A lot of times that can be drenched with a level of seriousness that is not soft, that feels like pressure to be something that you aren't, to get ready for something that you're not ready for, to jump and spring into action when you're still in your hibernation season. And I want to encourage you to be in your hibernation season if you find yourself there. Existence does not want you to be serious. Existence is not serious. I've never seen a serious tree. I've never seen a serious animal. I've never seen a serious anything that wasn't created by the seriousness of human beings. Creating space for the softness that lies in the lack of seriousness that is our existence is an embrace that I am sitting in this winter. I've made a lot of changes in my life these last couple of seasons, and as I've changed, I've noticed how long it took me to embrace the change that was naturally becoming, how long it took me to align myself with the version of me that I knew was emerging, but I was too scared to completely embrace, and how one way or another it was going to happen, whether I embraced it or I resisted it, and how often we find ourselves worrying about the future, worrying about the happenings of a new life that is inevitable to happen for us. Do you ever think about the inevitability of falling in love with another person, whether that's platonically a friend, a child that you might have one day, a new partner? Do you ever think about the inevitability of moving into a house for the first time in your life? That moment might happen time and time again. Do you ever think about the inevitability of meeting a new friend, one that will take a place in your life, perhaps in your wedding, perhaps be there through everything that occurs that's important after a certain time, and you haven't even met them yet, or maybe you know them, but you're not close to them? Do you ever think about the inevitability of love happening all the time, all around us? Do you ever think about the inevitability of existence being exactly as it is, changing exactly as it always has, and yet the inevitability that that change will always look a little bit different and that there's always room for something new? I've been thinking a lot about that inevitability. I've been thinking a lot about the fact that when you have to figure something out, you will, and it's inevitable that you do, and that the worst case scenarios are usually things that either never happen or are supposed to happen to give you the best case scenario possible, and that the worst case scenarios when they do happen are just the inevitable inevitabilities that lead us to exactly where we're supposed to go, that lead us perhaps to the falling in love with the new partner, new friend, the child that we might have, that lead us into the homes that become ours, the cities that we embrace as our new playgrounds, the spaces that we enter that feel soft enough for us to surrender into, and how never even have to force any of that change, that it just happens, and that's life. This inevitability, this deep, complex inevitability, this existence that is not serious, but we make it so serious. We make it seem as if we don't ever change, we'll never change. And in a way, that's true, right? Like, nothing changes until you change. I say that all the time. Like, the patterns in your life, the people in your life, the situations that you find yourself attracting again and again won't change until you change the underlying habits and behaviors that are triggering those events to happen. That's true. But one way or another, your life will change. The inevitability of inevitabilities will make it so that you move. You go somewhere new, you meet someone new, you find yourself in some space that's new. And none of that is serious. It's just happening, and it just is. We rush so often in this life. And then we find ourselves at the end of the year looking back at how January feels so far away, how the version of ourselves that we carried with us in March and April and June and July just seem like faint images of a life that seems so far yet was so close. I always feel that way at the end of the year. I imagine myself in March, imagining myself in December, right? Because when the year starts and you're coming away from December, the next December doesn't seem that far away. You know that 12 months will pass. You know that you will live life through the beginnings of spring, summer, fall, and another winter. But then you actually get to the end of the year. You get to the next calendar end of year and you say, wow, March me was so different. April me was so different. And we don't realize how much changes so quick until we really take a minute and a moment to reflect and to look at everything that's happened and everything that has changed us, the inevitabilities of this year. So I want you to ask yourself, what has been inevitable for you this year? What happened in your year, in your 2024? Even if you're listening to this in 2025, what happened that was inevitable, that felt like life taking your hand and showing you that existence does not want you to be serious? So let's shift things. Let's see what happens if. What was inevitable for you this year? How did destiny lead you to this podcast right now, listening to it? I want to remind you that this life is yours and it is sacred, that there are a million cells working for you inside of your body, a trillion cells working for you inside of your body. Their only purpose is to create the environment for your cells, your organs, your bodily functions to function properly and to keep you alive. And that those trillions of cells don't work for you and for your aliveness so that you can take for granted your aliveness. They don't work for you so that you can go to work and be serious. They don't work for you so that you can take everything around you for granted and not wake up to the sacredness of your existence. They don't work for you so you can set your New Year's resolutions and you can check the things off the list. They don't work for you so that you can be anything at all. They work for you because they love you, and that is their only purpose and job. They're programmed to love you. They're programmed to live for you. So if you're listening to this, just breathe into that space for a moment and create the space for softness there. Allow the knowing that every part of your body wants to keep you alive, is keeping you alive, lead you into leading with love as we end this year and go into a new one, and allow you to slow down. I read something while I was in yoga teacher training, and I haven't forgotten it because I'm someone who likes to move fast and has been addicted to moving fast for so long in my life. And I've finally started to learn how to slow down, how to listen, how to move slow. And what I read had said, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And the idea is that rushing only gives you the illusion that you're moving faster. But when you rush, you make a lot more mistakes. When you rush, you're not focused on the process of unfolding or unraveling. You're just focused on getting to point B from point A. When you rush, you tell yourself that you don't have time, and therefore your world believes it. And you might make mistakes on your way that are inevitabilities that lead you to having to start over. Having to start over and start again and go slow. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And if we create the space for softness, we also have to create the space for slowness. We have to create the space for ritual. I saw a TikTok last week about ritualizing our lives and how when we decide to do something for ourselves and we decide to commit to something new, we often use discipline as a motivating factor. We often set ourselves down and say, you're going to do this because this is right for you and because we committed to it and because we said we were going to. So we're going to do this, right? We're going to discipline ourselves into action. But there is another way, another perspective of looking at that, and that is ritualizing ourselves into action. How every time we repeat something that we've committed to doing, instead of that being a discipline for us, how that can be a ritual for us. How life allows the space for ritual. How every single morning when you wake up, you have a morning ritual. It might not be what you want it to be. You might want to work on creating a morning ritual that feels more like remembrance of who you are to you. But you have a ritual. And a ritual is defined as a ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order. It's usually pretty characteristic of religion. But a ritual is just a custom. Christmas is a ritual. New Year's resolutions are a ritual. It's anything that is observed. And I know that many of us observe our morning rituals as something that we either perform as a ritual or just something that gets us ready for the day. But this thought of ritualizing the things that we commonly do as part of our lives has been on my mind lately as I create for this podcast. I'm sitting in my kitchen, home alone, by candlelight, recording this episode as the day turns to dusk. And I'm speaking in this way that makes me feel soft as I talk about softness. And to me, that is a ritual, even though it's not something that I do every single time I sit on this microphone. And sometimes there's a camera involved, and sometimes it's a bit more of a production. But today I am with the ritual of simply speaking, talking, being real with you here for this last episode of the year, which feels like the only right thing to do. And as I go into 2025, I don't want resolutions. I want rituals. I want my life to be a ritual. I want to embrace that existence does not want me to be serious, and that this life is sacred and we get to build a dialogue with it. We get to be in communion with it. We get to flow with it. We get to develop a relationship with it beyond the things that we feel we should do. So that's another question I have for you to reflect on as you begin a year and you end one. What are the inevitabilities that have been part of your year? What are the rituals that have been part of your year? And what are the shoulds that have been part of your year? For me, this has been a year of letting go of the shoulds. It's been a year of listening to the inner voice inside of me that says, you should do this, you should do that, because it thinks that I should be here, I should be there, and asking myself, what is it that I actually want? Where is this internal sense of obligation coming from that asks me to rush and move fast and gives me the illusion that that is the right way to be and moves me into the shoulds of everything? And where can I create space, create softness to uncover the smoothness, the slowness beyond that illusion and find out what I really want? Because those are really the things that we should feel obligated to do, go after our dreams, our desires, our heartfelt callings, to be moved into action by the ritual of life and by the sacredness of this life. But instead, we're bound by a list of shoulds that exist on a template, a to-do list, a version of 2025, January, New Year's resolutions. And I am embracing something else this year. Letting ease be my natural state. And from there, it's easier to identify what it is that we want, what it is that feels right. If we take away the idea that existence has to be serious and that everything that we do in this life is part of a list of shoulds, then we allow a sense of ease, a sense of softness, a sense of slowness in the rituals of our lives to create change from a place of love. We don't need to change because someone tells us to change or because the year has changed on a calendar, when really outside, everything's the same. Inside, everything's the same. We know that. The world tells us something different, but the world is always telling us something different. So changing things about your life feels very different from a place of fear and obligation than it does from a place of love. It's from that place of connecting to the cells in your body that are working for you and only for you, and knowing that they believe you deserve to live the best life possible. They are programmed to create for you, and allowing that to inform your choices instead of moving from a place of hate, obligation, fear. Existence does not want you to be serious, even if you maybe have to put on a serious suit to go to work and make your money so that you can spend your money unseriously, right? Like, the things that are serious in this world, the things that button us up and suit us into a version of ourselves that feels like it has to rush, like it's in competition, like it's competing with a list of shoulds that feels so oppressive. Those things aren't real. Those are just fabricated illusions and realities that we sometimes have to surrender to and live in, but we don't have to embrace. We are allowed to be active communicators in our lives by creating a dialogue with our lives, by creating space for ritual, creating space for softness, accessing our future selves as a way to reach new heights. I talk about this all the time. I love this concept that time isn't linear. And if time isn't linear, then that's why we're able to have a relationship with our inner child and do the inner child healing. It's the whole concept of being able to feel into the place that you were when you were 5 years old, 7 years old, to be able to conjure up the feelings of what it was like to be a kid and play and maybe get your heart broken for the first time and reach into that version of yourself, hold them with love, heal their heart, choose to make decisions that align you with being their precious caretaker, because you are. If you're able to do that, then you're able to also reach into the future. If you can reach into the past, you can reach into the future. And there is a future version of you. I like to imagine my future version as like an 85-year-old woman sitting in bed. Maybe she takes up most of her residence on a rocking chair and likes to knit and likes to have visitors. And I imagine this old version of me, this very gracefully aged old version of me, and I see all that's happened in my life, and I see myself being the matriarch of moments of my life, whether that means literally having children in the future and those children having children, or creating something that I felt proud of, or creating something that I felt proud of and then I didn't feel proud of and decided to leave and decided to create something new out of. Whatever it is, I imagine myself having all of these experiences, this multitude of life wisdom. And travel through life wisdom. And I imagine that this version of me knows everything, that she knows everything that happens in my life. She knows the love that I have experienced, the love that I've lived, the love that I've lost. She knows how I heal. She knows how I change. She knows everything. And I reach into the future and I ask her for help, and I ask her for guidance, and I ask her for advice. And sometimes if I'm writing in my journal and I'm really confused about something, I ask a question. I ask my future self, my higher self, my 80-year-old self, and I get an answer, and it's so clear and it's so poignant, and it's usually drenched in this like old wisdom. It's usually never a direct answer. It's usually, you know, the answer, but it's a knowing that that part of me, while it's not present in physical reality, while I'm probably just conjuring up this idea, if I can conjure up the idea, then it's real. It's real to me. If I can access a wisdom that feels like wisdom, then it's real to me. Just like if I can access my inner child and I can feel her feelings, even though I literally was that child, I'm not anymore. I've changed. I've transformed. I mean, hell, I've grown 3 or 4 feet. So if that's the case, if I can imagine what it was like to be a kid, but I don't really remember what it was like to be a kid because I wasn't fully conscious and sentient and aware like I am now as an adult, then I can reach into the future and I can access this version of me who knows more, and I can ask her for advice. And so clearing the space for softness, creating space for softness, creating space to lead with love and let life be sacred is all about slowing down, I think. It's about talking from your heart, speaking from your heart, being from your heart, living in that space as much as you possibly can in the confines of your room, if that's the only place you feel safe enough to do it. And then slowly expanding that past your room into your living room, past your living room into your building, past your building or your home into the world, onto the street, into a friend's life, a lover's life, a dog's life, a child's life, and then maybe people who you interact with on a daily basis, who you wouldn't think twice about being loving to, who you are often serious with. What would happen if you just cracked a smile with them? What would happen if you took off the buttoned-up suit of seriousness and embraced that existence does not care if you're serious, does not want you to be serious, that you get to lead with love if you choose to love, and that that is a powerful portal into who you truly are. I haven't recorded an episode like this in a while. I feel that the road less traveled has been very focused on the road less traveled. It's been very focused on that which might feel serious, I guess. And this episode is really for the lovers, the romanticizers, the ones who want to get a cozy cup of tea in a cute room and unwind while listening to a girl who is figuring shit out talk about what it's like to end the year after a year of figuring shit out, and how to create more softness and surrender in the solitude of our own hearts, and then how to expand that beyond our own hearts into our world, and how that's actually a process that's happening all the time, and we don't really have to do anything. All we have to do is sink in, root down, and ground into who we really are, hear the beat of our hearts, feel that they've always been whole, feel that when we feel that they've always been whole, they open up, they flutter to us, they beat for us. I want this episode to soften you into who you are at your deepest core. Know that you can start over anytime you want. It does not have to be on 1/1/2025. And that most likely it won't be, and that's okay. And anyone who's pushing on you the self-help 2025 guide, get your shit together, get your act together, and you don't actually want to take it and you just feel like you should, you don't have to take it. You can relax into the softness of the space that is winter. You can sit in your interior winter until you come out of it and trust that you will, because you will. Because nature is always changing, and you too are nature, and nature doesn't worry or fret if the leaves will grow back. It knows that it will. It has that interior, internal compass, and just like nature in the spring, more than likely, you will begin to blossom and bloom into a new version of yourself. But allow yourself the space of relaxation as you reflect on this year, as you reflect on the inevitabilities, on the rituals that you've carried from this year, and maybe what you want to take into 2025 with you. What rituals feel good for you, and what are new rituals you want to start? In my opinion, fuck resolutions. They feel heavy and weighted with shoulds and weighted with an obligation that none of us actually feel good about paying our attention to. So I am much more embracing rituals, ritualizing our lives, making our lives special and sacred enough to be ritualized. In the spirit of last year's end of the year episode, I want to provide you with a space to breathe, to connect to yourself, to meditate. So if you're ready for that, then feel free to create the space for it. And if not, then pause the podcast, come back when you are. It's going to be just a few minutes of some breathing, some connectedness, and some reflection. So wherever you are, from your belly, I want you to take a deep breath, and from the space of wherever you're sitting or standing, fill your body with breath. Allow that breath to inflate you, and notice what it's like to stay at the top of that inhale, waiting for the cue to let go. If you haven't already, begin to slowly exhale and let go. And as you let go, let the breath cascade down your body and find yourself rooted deeply into the floor beneath you, whether you're sitting, standing, maybe your eyes are open and you're on a walk. Wherever you are, allow your breath to ground you. What does softness feel like to you? What does it feel like to release the idea that you need to be serious? What images come to mind when I say the words childlike wonder? What feelings arise when I say life is sacred? How does your heart feel when I speak the sound play? Have you created space for the ritual of slowing down in your life lately? If you haven't, what would it look like to create space for the ritual of slowing down, for childlike wonder, for play? If you feel touted with the burden of New Year's resolutions, what would it feel like to embrace the flow of life instead of resolutions, ritualizing the moments of your life, giving them your full presence, your full attention, and being exactly where you are and embracing that where you are is where you're meant to be? What are the inevitabilities that have happened in your life this year? What has occurred that seems like it was meant to? For better or for worse, it was meant to. And how can you trust that these inevitabilities will lead you into new ones next year, and that by creating space for softness, you allow them to come with more ease? You allow life to show you that it loves you. You create space for the millions of cells, the trillions of cells that are working for you inside of your body, to love you more deeply. Take a deep breath in. Notice what it's like to be at the top of an inhale, waiting for the cue to let go, and then notice what it's like to let go as you let go and let the breath cascade down your body into the root of the floor. What is it like to consciously change your energy, to observe, to imagine new things, to allow those things to create a sense of softness, to create space for softness? I am so grateful that you are here, you are listening. Thank you for being part of my journey of figuring shit out. If you like the podcast, please rate it on your preferred streaming platform. If you like this meditation and this type of dialogue, you can find more like it on my Patreon, where I do monthly meditations. I wanted to give this gift to you guys because I love you and I love this podcast so much. It genuinely gives me the space to be myself, to create clarity around who I really am. It allows me to drop into the space of softness with myself, to sit with a microphone and a lit candle and just be one-on-one with who I really am and who I feel I am underneath the seriousness of life, and embrace these concepts as integral parts of my experience here. So thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me just talk in your ear every Sunday. And thank you for being part of my 2024. I love you guys so, so much. And remember that if you spend your whole life trying to get your act together, you don't have a life, you have an act. So go and live your fucking life. I love you so much. And I will see you in 2025. Yeep.
You gotta look for the redeeming feature. You gotta look for things to appreciate. You gotta find a reason to make it okay where you are. No. I've got to strive and struggle and try. That's what I've been taught. Growth and expansion is my quest. No, that's inevitable. Whether it comes easy or hard is the question.
The horrible truth is that it's an inside job. That if you're going to get that love and that respect that you've just so that union starts inside.
To every experience of growth, there is an equal and an opposite, and that equal and an opposite is what drives you to that light. So you have to start inwards. You have to start first within yourself.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.